The No Chill Podcast is brought to you by Life Recovery Water, offering up three delicious thirst-quenching blends guaranteed to refill your body while satisfying your palate. The coconut, watermelon, and pineapple flavors rehydrate the body with necessary electrolytes such as potassium, magnesium, phosphorus, and calcium. These electrolyte properties are vital to any athlete or sports enthusiast after a tough workout or training session. Replenishing the body with an all-natural product is always the best form of recovery. Life Recovery Water. Go get yourself some today. The No Choke Podcast hits the court in this episode as we go inside Gil's mind to understand how he sees the floor, reads defenses, and decides the most effective way to score the basketball. Abachi breaks down how to get the best shot against any type of defender in any game situation, cracking the code of NBA team defenses. And then Agent Zero explains how he was able to use one play to set up several more on the way to scoring in bunches against some of the best defenders of their era. Gil also looks at some of the up-and-comers like Giannis Antetokounmpo, Brandon Ingram, and Lonzo Ball, and has some ideas for them to add to their games, bringing their offensive production to another level. So get ready to take some notes and learn how a prolific bucket getter approached scoring and gave opposing defenders help. It's the No Chill Podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcast and catch the video version on YouTube. On this episode of the No Chill Podcast, we took our show on the road to the Sports Academy, and what we got is Agent Zero here, and we're going to pick the brain of a flat-out prolific scorer. And we're talking about what makes guys great, and ways to get to your shot, and things that you can use at home to be an effective scorer. So first thing we want to do is talk about, here's a rock, let's talk about a common situation in basketball. You have a bigger defender on you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so on a switch, guy pulls out on you, let's say DeAndre Jordan. Uh-huh. Okay, so DeAndre's on you. Take us through what's going through your mind.
So when I played, everyone was a mismatch problem, especially for me. You know, I was a bigger guard, faster, stronger. So if you just take today's game, so we'll take somebody like a Steph Curry who loves to use a pick and roll. His thinking is different than my thinking. You know, the way he sees the game, he sees it from a shooter standpoint. I was a shooter, but I was a scorer. So what Steph likes to do is he likes to back the big man up, get him moving left to right. You know, so once a big guy moves left to right, Steph can fake like he's going. Big man backs, he can shoot.
So he's got DeAndre on you.
So if he has DeAndre Jordan, like he's gonna come play with the ball, okay. Make a move, and then fake like he's going to the rim, because big men like to give up the lane because they're scared to get beat. So that's one thing, big men, they're scared to get beat to the rim. So they're already in retreat mode. So they're already technically moving back.
Right.
So all he has to do is give them, they're gonna back up, he can get a shot off. Me, I was different. If I had a big guy on me, I wasn't settling for a jump shot. Because in my thinking, I have the shot blocker on me. If I blow past him, who's gonna block my shot?
No one's protecting the rim.
My guy sitting down there with the big man. So I'm not gonna pass it to my big man. If I pass it to the big man, they're gonna double. Swing it back out, pass. That was old basketball thinking. The mismatch is me. I got the big man. All right, back up. And I'm just gonna go. I'm gonna go because a big man, they love blocking shots. So somebody like DeAndre Jordan, compared to like, let's say when I played Brazier. Brazier's trying to get in position to take this charge. DeAndre Jordan is, if he's sticking me like this, and I'm getting ready to back up, he's gonna open up, give me the lane, so he can try to block me.
Yeah, I was gonna say, now if he gives you that lane, are you thinking he's gonna bait you?
No, so he's baiting me so he can try to block me.
They're not exactly. Gonna,
they don't give up, they don't, like the big men go for shot blocks and hero plays. So because I know that, I'm just gonna sit and I'm baiting them too. And when I go, I'm coming in front of them.
Okay.
So I'm gonna use my speed and body to knock him back and then go for the layup.
So you're putting him at that point, you're putting him on your hip.
Yes, I'm putting him, you gotta remember, he's slow, the big men are slow. So once I get in front of him, I just cut him off. I'm not gonna let them use their jumping ability to go back and get that shot. Because I know the person in front of me is not going to block my shot because I just left the big man back there. But in today's game, the little guards want to twerk and jerk and shoot the jump shot on a big man, which is, I think, bailing them out. I'm never going to bail out the big man. I'm going to take your ass to the basket, you know, and hopefully you can get it.
Or draw a foul on him, too.
Yeah, that's what I said. So my whole game was, if I'm going to get the switch, I'm going to take the big man and go. And I can see why, like with Steph, he takes a little guards and he drives on all guards, but he shoots on all bigs because he knows the bigs are going to retreat.
All right, so now the next kind of situation we would flip to is you have a smaller defender on him. So the idea is that he is quicker. Mm-hmm. Laterally, not just up and down the court.
So laterally quick guards hurt bigger guards. See, I rarely had someone who was quicker than me. You know, I'm always stronger, faster. And it was a tiny bunch that was quicker. So if I decided to go and shift, they can pop, pop, and get back.
Right.
So Earl Boykins, basically Earl Boykins, I'm not going to play around with him. I'm not going to sit here and play pick and roll with him because he's going to sit under me.
So he's right here.
So they're going to sit under me just going here. So all I'm doing is just going to go into the post, shoot right over him. You know, so basketball, you have to understand what everyone can do defensively because you're the offense. So you got to understand what their ability is against you. And I don't think everyone recognizes everyone's talent. Everyone's talented at something. So you have to understand if they're stronger, faster, quicker. Because you can't do the same move on every single person. You know,
and different type of defender.
I don't think they think the game, because if you did, this game would be easier for everyone. Everyone would be averaging 30.
But you're constantly always looking for a mismatch.
That's what I'm saying. If you're a great offensive scorer, everyone's a mismatch. Because everyone's lacking something. Either you're lacking speed and you got strength, or you're lacking strength and you got speed. You're lacking something, and I just got to find out what it is.
But at the same token, if you have that guy like a Isaiah Thomas, for example, similar to Earl Boykins, he can make your life hell 94 feet.
Yeah,
that's what he's got.
A small guard, you know, I don't even know if they press anymore. A small guard picks you up, gets you tired. But I understood that. I understood. I'm not going to speed up my game going like this because that's his job. Speed him up, make him play fast-paced the whole game. No, give it to the two, give me the ball at half court. And then now let's play basketball.
Right. You know, so that takes him out. If he's picking you full court, I'm not going to bring it up.
His strength is to make me turn, get me tired. So I'm going to take your strength away. Give up the ball. Right. Now let's just sit here and jog down the court. Uh-huh. And then now we can play basketball. You know, like somebody like a strong guard. So if I was playing against a strong guard, like when I played Dwayne Wade or Iguodala, those type of guards, because I know they're stronger than me, I want to separate when I decide to go.
So what's D-Wade's move? Like, what's his defensive?
You know, just a guard guy like Kobe. So, like, with those guys, because they're stronger than me, I don't want to be stationed. I don't want to be just trying to do a move here. No. I want to back up and get my momentum going so when they give me that initial hit, I can bounce through it. Because you got to remember, if I'm moving, your strength really means nothing.
You counter that strength with speed.
With speed.
But what is their, for example, D-Wade, how is he using that strength?
To guide you. So if I'm sitting here trying to worry about a pick and roll, he's going to guide me where he wants me to go because he's holding on because they're stronger. Mm-hmm. So they're going to guide you, and it makes their life easier. That's a disadvantage of me. Mm-hmm. So I need to give my space and always be on the move. So when I decide to go and they try to hit me with the stop, it's, you know, I can just bounce. And that's why you see, because strength means nothing if it's not moving. Like somebody like LeBron. If you ever notice LeBron, yeah, he's stronger than everybody. But your strength means nothing if you don't have no momentum with it. It's like a train. If that train's not moving, it's doesn't hurt.
It's stuck at the station.
So that's why he's always here. So when he decides to move this big body, there's no one that can stay in front of him.
Right.
So that's what I said. You have to understand what talents people have. And I think that's what's wrong with basketball now is they're not studying the game. Like, they're not studying how the game is being played, what players are great at, what players lack. Like I always talk about Kawhi Leonard and say, he's a good defender. He wouldn't be a good defender against me. because I know his weakness. Weakness is he's a two-foot jumper. He's a two-foot jumper, and he's slow-footed. So knowing those two things and knowing he's a great reactor and he never gives up on a play. So with all that I process, I know what my game looks like. I'm never going to cross over arm length.
Because he'll be there with his length, right?
Arm length, boom, boom. He don't have to move. He's going to pop, pop, pick it every time. Knowing if I get lazy with the ball and bounce too high, he's going to come in with the big hand. So I'm going to always keep distance him. And then when I go, just straight one move, go. I'm not going to sit here and try to James Harden somebody like Kawhi Leonard because I'm playing to him. And I know if I do get stopped and step back, I know he's coming. So if I know he's going to always be there, I'm always going to pump fake because he's always going to jump. Get him off his rhythm, and I get that separation. I still jump because he's plus 9.5 wingspan. So you're basically not safe anywhere in the court, no matter how much separation you get from this guy. So you're going to have to mentally, I need to pump fake because no shot is a clear shot because he never gives up on a play.
But after a series of fakes, wouldn't he by now know your tendencies?
But I mean, you're talking about a game. Like, there's you got to remember, you're the offense, so he's always going to react off of you. Like, and if I know he's a two-foot jumper, I'm going to take him away from his advantage. Meaning, I'm never going to really go that much this way. Because you got to remember, if he's a defender and he comes, he can load up with that shot here. If I go right against him, he has to use independent feet, his legs. So now he has to come and try to jump and block me like this. Mm-hmm. So knowing he has to jump off 2 feet, I'm going to always go right.
Because attack his footwork.
I'm going to attack his feet. But I'm going to go right because if I'm going to go all the way to the lane, I know he has to try to do this. And that's not his strong suit. If I go this way, he's going to ride me and jump off 2 feet. He has the advantage of me going left. But that's what I said. You just got to know who that player is.
I mean, is he an example of a worst-case scenario, or an ultimate nightmare defender?
Depends on what type of player you are.
A guard.
Will he stop a Kyrie one-on-one? No. No, he would not stop someone like a Kyrie. If he's not going to stop a Westbrook type. Because the Westbrook doesn't need moves. You got to remember, a guy who needs 100 moves means he doesn't have foot speed. So if you look at a Kyrie versus a Westbrook, Kyrie needs all
this. Kyrie's got 100 moves.
He needs you to shift left and right and left and right so he can use those two steps. Westbrook says, I don't need none of this. I just go 1-2, I'm gone.
Flat out,
and
right.
That's the difference. So depending on who he's sticking, he will rather play against a guy who's dribbling a lot. Because I can just stand there, okay, you're going to shoot, there you go. That guy who's just going to go 1-2, doom, to the rim, you know, it's kind of takes away his advantage. So, to me, I didn't really look at anybody as a great defender in my mind. There was no such thing as a great defender because you're a great defender in your element of defending. You're not a great defender in my element of scoring. So, you know, if I'm going to settle for shots, I got to know if you close out a lot. Like I know with Kirk Hinrich. Kirk Hinrich, I don't care where you were, he was going to jump. So he could be there, and I can be shooting here. He's still contesting that jump shot. So you have to understand, what is he being taught? I tell people to be a great offensive player, learn defense. Because defense has never evolved. Offense evolved. So it's like having a test, and you know the answers to the book. If you know the answers to the book, how are you being stopped?
Well, I guess what does evolve is athleticism, guys' size.
But principle does not change.
True. But if physically someone has a presence that is difficult to, hear me out. Mm-hmm. You're going to get to a point where, like, that dude is a monster, right?
No.
The guys from Space Jam, the Monstars, everyone's beatable, right, in your mind. None of that would intimidate you.
Principle. You still got principle, right? We're on this side. All right, so here's the principle. If I have the ball right here, you have to play me exactly how you are right now.
Right.
Right? So I know from here the type of two moves I can do because of how you play. If I come down 2 more feet, exactly what you did, right?
Yep.
So because I know what you have to do, it's easier for me to train. See, all these kids are being trained by trainers who never played really high-level basketball, and they got good later on in life. So they're teaching them 100 moves, but they don't teach them where these moves work and how these moves work. So it's like, if you're a baseline player or a sideline player, you have to understand what a defender or what your coach is teaching defensively. So if I'm below this line, the defense is supposed to push me baseline. All right, so I know he's giving me baseline, the help is coming, this guy's dropping, right? I know that. So I know the space I have, depending on how fast I am, how strong I am, I know my moves is somewhere in this area.
That's where you want to get your shot off.
I need to get my shot off because that's the only open shot.
Right.
A step back in this little corner area.
But now as a defender, I know that. I'm forcing you baseline.
No, you're forcing me baseline, yeah.
And I'm forcing you to the help.
You're forcing me to the help.
Right.
Right? So now as an offensive player, depending on how fast I am, depending on what move I need. So if I need a little bit more room, I'm gonna fake it.
Uh-huh. So I just move here.
Yeah, you just
move here. So you got already one step off.
Because you gotta remember, they're teaching you, don't let me go middle. So you're overly aggressive. You're overly, any in and out that way, you're overly aggressive. Now, once I got you shifted, I can just sit right in this pocket.
All right.
Right, that means I have moves. So I come here, baseline, I got a spin, there's only a few moves, but you gotta know what moves work in what situation. Like, this is the defender.
The sideline is your friend.
This is the sideline, the defender. So a great defender, like I would never put Kawhi Leonard on an ISO here with his arms. He doesn't cut half the fucking, he cut this court off. Because you're sitting with a guy with a wingspan here, so all he has to do is here, and he's done blocked half my movage. You know, I wouldn't play against a guy in this area. Top of the key only with someone like Kawhi, because he controls you. He controls you here. There's nowhere you're going to go and do a move and step back and get away from him. So his strength is pushing you on this side. So you got to, that's what I said, you got to understand.
So is that why we would see a lot of guys like Harden, if he were to get the ball in the wing? I mean, he can operate in a lot of places, mm-hmm. but he really wants to get his defender top of the key.
Because top of the key, when you think about the top of the key, it's isolation. You have to play me straight up. You can't lead me nowhere. See, right. I didn't care where I was because I know you have principle. You have to push me somewhere. And I'm just waiting for you to do it. So I'll sit here, like you see me, I'll sit here, you're playing me straight up. When I get down here, as soon as you even think about switching your feet, I'm gone. So if you watch highlights and you're like, oh, how come Kobe didn't stop? Because Kobe had to shift. As soon as he shifted, I just went. Because, you know, then your man is coming. Because I'm not paying attention to Kobe at this point or any defender. I'm waiting for his back man to come and touch and go back. As soon as he touches and goes back, I run right down his back. He's not fast enough to get there. Then depending on what big man that is, now if it's Brazier, I know I can't use all my speed because he was fast enough to get outside that lane for the charge. So now it's like, oh, I might have to use another move, you know, or I just got to hurry up and get there and jump. And just hopefully it works in my favor.
Well, and that's the next step of the chessboard is you have the defender that's on you, your first line of defense. So next matchup.
The man that's sticking you, if you're a great offensive player, is never a line of defense. He's not. The way the rules are, if you're a great offensive, he is no focal point. I'm not worrying about the guy. Because you got to remember, because he has to play by a certain rule on defense, he has to play by principle. What he's being taught, he's handicapped. He's handicapped in movement. Like, you know, I'm here. He goes here. I come here, he plays a different way. I go here, he plays a different way. It takes away his natural ability to think. You know, so I just play that game, so I'm not worried about him. So I'm just sitting here out of the pocket zone where he has to play straight up. And then once I see the big man going back, I just slowly go down. As soon as he shifts, I take off. But I don't need a move for that. But if I did need a move, and I'm playing against San Antonio, I know I can't go that far down. I have to work on my shot. So, kids, the moves you need to be working on, when you do it, you're working here, boom, 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 go, step back. The reason you do this is to just make the guy move. Simple in and out. Like all these, I see kids sitting here doing all these, like, where are you going?
You're wasting time.
Yeah, where are you going? You're wasting time, effort, energy. No one's moving because you have no momentum for me to move anywhere. You're flat-footed doing all these moves, and I can just...
So it's know to get by that first defender who you're not worried about as much. What you're thinking about is where the help is coming from, where the double is going to happen, and then where you can get your shot off in that space.
Yes. So when I trained the floor, what people did. Like, that's what I said. It's like I trained different. Like, I knew my scoring areas, and that's how I trained, you know, how people are playing.
So when it comes to training, what would you tell a young player, a kid, or a guy actually coming into the league, into his first season, how to approach creativity? What should they be in the gym working on?
Okay.
Instead of the same, anybody can have a trainer, like you said, and they're just going to go through all these
drills. First-year players, you got to remember, you're a first-year player. What you did in college has no bearing on an NBA. You have to find your NBA game. You have to find what you can get away with in the league. So your first year is basically a tester. Go out there and let's see what the fuck you can do.
See if what worked for you in college, what works.
And then from there, you look at your strength. You don't need to work on that much in the summer. Work on your weakness. Add something to your game. See, I work areas. So if I was working on a step back, that's all I'm doing. I'm gonna do 500 step backs to perfect that step back. And then when college came or when practice came or I have a defender, yo, I'm doing step backs. Stop me. So now the defense knows exactly what, now when I do that move, I have to be exact, I have to do it perfect.
Does every guy do it like that?
What? No.
Tell them, yeah.
No, they go in there, they do
They're
all
not gonna tell you what's coming every time.
They get all their little trainers and they do all these fake ass spin moves and all these, and it's like, you look at the summer and it's like, Trinxton, I just seen you do 52 post-up moves in the summer, and your ass don't do nothing in the game. Like, how come your shit is not translated? Because there's no defense in your training sessions, so everything is easy, and then when you get in the game, and that motherfucker has this post on you, and that shit you was about to do don't work. You just gave up on your whole offense. Like, you have to train against somebody. Like, when I was playing, Leo, if I'm working this area at the top of the key, Two on one, stop me. This is the move I'm working on. Because I need to see if it works. You don't know if a move works until there's a fucking body in front of you.
But how do you start that move? No defense, right? You're just, where do you break it down?
Whatever you're doing, if you're practicing like Trae Young. So if you're practicing pulling up from half court, there should be a defense there because there's going to be a defense there. So if you practice 50 of them, now the next 50 with somebody running back, just like the running back, they're running back on defense and then they're stopping, you pull up. Like, you work, you have to work on it in a game-like atmosphere for you to really know if it actually works.
Is that where the confidence comes from? Knowing that you can get it off in game speed.
Like, I can tell you, like, just James Harden, I can tell you, he spends his whole summer doing the same moves with people, without people. Because if you look at the NBA, it's the only moves he's gonna do. You don't see him catching flare screens, shooting. You don't see him coming down picking picks. You don't see him you don't see him cutting. You don't see none of that. It's the same thing. I got the ball. All right. Bop, 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 bop. Let's go. You move. Okay, step back. It's like, it's so conditioned, it's funny.
But also for him, he's an elite player to where he has an unstoppable move. But if I'm a younger guy, that it's like, look, I have to make an identity for myself in this league. Like, I don't know what my unstoppable move is yet.
Like somebody like Dwayne Wade. When Dwayne Wade came, he was a basket hitter. He hit that basket as hard as he possibly could. I mean, he used to wear knee pass, elbow pass, hip pass, thigh pass. He had a butt pad, fucking rib, the whole fucking rib. Like, it was
like Batman.
It was like touching a fucking foam board. Like, what is all? What kind of sport are you playing? Because he used to hit the floor so hard, he was just protecting his muscles. The next year, boom, bank shot. Oh shit, he's coming with the bike. He's banked, like he came, like he, so that means he went into the summer, said I need to work on my 15-foot, 17-foot bank shot. Next following year, pump fake. He came back with the, you have to add something to your game every single season. But you gotta understand, it takes the whole summer for it to become natural. So that's what I said. So if I'm working on something, I'm working on it the whole day, that whole week. And that's how I learn moves. I don't just go in the summer just working. That's not smart. That's not smart, because at the end of the day, if you're working on everything, that means you're not doing anything great.
Right. You're just a Chinese menu. You're not specializing.
Like Greek. He should be working on a 15. You don't need to be working on threes right now. 17-footer, 15-footer is what you should be focusing on, because you can get, because you're so long, you can get to the basket anytime you want. So now, when someone's sticking you, they're gonna be running. They're gonna be turning it back. Like Westbrook came back. When Westbrook came back one year, it came with a stop on the dime. That's how Greek. If he learns how to
pull up
15, 13, 7 foot, I mean, he's a whole nother player. But you gotta understand, I don't need to work on my strength this summer. I need to work on my weaknesses.
But where this time comes in, right? So if Greek Freak's coming into the gym, the progression is to start at the very basics. I think a lot of, like, you would know footwork. Like, to let's create a move for Greek Freak on that pull-up. What's he gonna start off with? He's not just gonna come in and get the ball and just start pulling up. He's gotta fine-tune it.
You have to start first. You gotta start off spot shots in that little area. Spot shooting, one dribble pull-up, and then you have to translate how you play the game. Most of the time, Greek is on the move when he gets the ball. So you can do all the spot shooting you want, but if you're not emulating his game, then it's really to a disadvantage of him. But you still want the principles of taking his shot. But because he's going to always be in momentum, all his moves should come from right here, just getting by and pulling up. So all defense of your trainer should be in this little area. There should be a guy there. There should be a guy swiping here. There should be a guy sticking him. So he knows where to traffic. So when he's coming in and doing all these moves, he knows where to take that jump shot, because he's done practicing it the whole summer. Instead of just saying, all right, empty gym. All right, take two dribbles right there and pull up and do 100 of those. Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. But there's a guy right here. How did he get past this first guy to get to that spot? And I think that's what's going on, especially in the youth. That you got these guys who have all these moves, they just don't know where they're going. Like somebody like Kyrie, I seen him start his move here and finished over there. Yeah. How? How the fuck did you? How did you get on that side of the court?
25 dribbles later, way too many.
Yeah, like, but it's like you have all the moves. Like one move, two moves, he's gone. Go score. You shouldn't be over that side. Like I probably got subbed out or hit by one of my teams. Get out the goddamn ball. I'm not gonna let you dribble here and then do some move and then you end up on that side of the floor. Nah, it's not gonna happen. Like I wasn't a dribbler. I was just a scorer. Like I don't need it. I was fast, strong, and I'm just gonna get to my ability. I'm not gonna sit here and play around with NBA players. they're there for a reason.
Right, and also they'll have the floor spaced out for you when it's time for you to go get it.
Yeah, like if I'm isolating, I'm at the top of the key, 1-4 flat. That's so if I'm gonna do something to get stuck, I have a lot of space to get stuck. But I'm not gonna be on this side, and I'm damn sure not gonna end up on that side. But the game is different.
So let's talk about this. So this move of you crossing Kobe.
He has a host of players around him. Gilbert Arenas all the way to the rack.
So let's put it back in that situation. Take me through what's going through your mind.
Okay. This must have been in Washington. It was in a transitional play. So as I'm coming down, I'm looking where Kobe is. I'm looking at the defense. All right, so if I go back to the play, I think Bynum was standing in the middle. So you got to remember, everything is predicated on what Kobe does in movement. So Bynum is in the middle. Then you have like Lamar Odom, you know, getting one in the slide down. You have Smush Parker, who's following his man. who should have been at the nail, depending on what Kobe does. If Kobe pushes me this way, he's the nail guy. That guy is floating. If I go baseline, he's the float guy, drop. So I'm in a no man's zone where he has to play me straight up. So because he has to play me straight up, they're stuck. They don't know what to do, right? My objective is to go middle. His objective is to push me baseline. Because usually when someone's coming down on any side, their initial move is they want to go baseline. So the defense is usually tempting to push you baseline. So what I do is I say, all right, Smush is already out of position on my move. And my move is I need to attack middle in the middle of this transition. So because Smush is not at the nail, I have free reign against Kobe. So what I decide to do is go between my legs to get him to think I'm going that way. So once I go between my legs and he shifts, I just a simple right to left.
And it's too late because Kobe already opened up.
I already moved you so far over. Now, the most important thing is not that I shifted Kobe. It's what I do after. Because Smush is the nail guy, I can't be dribbling all the way here because I'm running into him, right? So now, if you look at the play, after I cross Kobe here and bounces it, I don't drop the ball anymore.
Because you know Smush is going to come.
If I put the ball down one more dribble, Smush would have had it. So my thinking is, and not my thinking, but what I had to do is say, all right, Smush is there. Once I hit Kobe and I come, hit the basket. So because Kobe can react fast, I can't play with him here. I already did what I had a move. Smush is coming. Bynum's out of position because he has to go tag. Or he has to stay to get the 3 seconds. But he's not in a position where he can take that charge. So, finish the move, cross, pick up, and go all the way. But it was more of the understanding not to put the ball back down against Smush versus me crossing Kobe. See, people see the crossing of the Kobe, but the move was I don't pick the ball back down because the Smush is there. And that's what you got to understand. Because there's a nail guy. But because I moved Kobe so far over there, this nail guy can't get to this area. You know, the nail guy is usually waiting for me to banana out and come here where he can close this gap. But because I shifted Kobe so far that way, and he was already going down to be a replace guy, once I drove, there was nothing they can do. You know, but you got to understand, like, what part of that move. And then I got him with a crossover, shot the three. The reason I can get him with that crossover because I already hit him with a left to right. The second time, I'm coming this way. He doesn't want me to go back middle. All right, I'm going middle. I can't go that way because that guy's there. I can't, you know, if I take any more dribbles, Kobe's back to that shot. So I got to shoot the jumper. So once I fake like I'm going and then hit him with the crossover, it's straight to the jump shot.
But also coming off that first play, you knew he was gonna want you to go baseline. That's how you got.
That's how I
to
got
the
middle,
basket off the
and
nail
this,
defender.
This one, he doesn't want me to go. He doesn't want me to go. Remember, it's not where they want me to go. Where they don't want me to go. You gotta remember, it's where they don't want you to go.
Right.
Is how you make them jump. So if he doesn't want me to go middle, the thought of going middle makes him overplay it. So, okay, boom. Now I got him where.
And then that next shot, you know, okay. I can get a three off actually on him next time.
Yeah, because I'm going to go the other way because right. I went below the line. So once right. I go below the line, now you want me to go that way, I know, but you don't want me to go that way. So I'm gonna get more space by faking that way first and then go. It's not like people say, well, it's Kobe. It don't matter who it is. He's handicapped by the rules that has to be played for the rest of the team. Because there's a team that's relying on him to play this play perfect. So if I come here, he pushes me here, this baseline guy comes, that guy drops. Like that's the defense setup. So if I know that's all gonna happen, well then I'm gonna fake it, make him jump that way, then I can shoot this jump. All right, if I know that's your nail guy, but I still want to go there, I'm going to fake this way. Now I can just cut you. I can cut the nail guy and cut you off at the same time. But You got to study basketball.
You know, yeah, study that. You know your two options.
You got to study basketball. You got to study plays. You got to study moves. And that's all basketball is. You know, if you're studying the right things, understanding space, who's good at what? Like I know if I'm driving on a nail and I'm taking, I mean, I guess he's in Toronto now. I call him Ricky Ralph. I'm taking Lowry off the dribble and I go middle. I know that nail guy is Leonard. I don't want him as a nail guy. I mean, you know, I don't want him as a nail guy because no matter if I come through this and I put the ball low,
he's got the length to it.
If I put it high, he's swiping. If I cuff it, I hurt myself. And that's where I think Ingram has a problem. See, Ingram game should be more like a KD type or a Greek type. Long game.
That's
long,
what everyone wants out long, of him, right?
Use every part of your body as space. Like if I know that's you, I'm gonna come and keep this space between me and the defenders. But what he gets to doing is, I don't know who's training him in the summer, most likely the Lakers staff, who never really played high level basketball. I'm pretty sure everyone on there never played high level. So what ends up happening is they don't know his skill level. They know their skill level, short man basketball or slow guard basketball. So with somebody like Ingram and you come and do these moves, you're so low that you're ineffective. So what ends up happening is he rounds out and he comes with these cuffs. By the time he unravels all this length, they're just sitting on
it. Way too late.
They're just sitting on the length, but if he's coming in the lane and the ball is already here, there's nothing they can eat. And I think that's what he needs to start learning. That's what he needs to start training. Like, be long, that's your advantage. Your advantage is you're a long kid. Like all this playing this small, that just helps out the fucking defense. Because you gotta come up at some point and they're just gonna be waiting for you to ramble all that. Give me that.
He's playing small.
Yeah, he plays small. He just plays too small. Then he has to chuck up something and then try to go get it back. But instead of just playing upright and just, you know, now because he's his length, I got to sit here and just try to play. That's why if you look at KD, he's going to sit here, play, and just pull up because he's taller than everybody. So no matter what you're doing, you're not challenging his shot. If you want to challenge KD's shot, you got to hit him before it gets past his chest. So when you're playing him, you gotta know, okay, he's right-handed. He's right-handed. So when he comes, he has to, I'm just gonna sit in his pocket on him.
So play underneath him.
I'm just gonna play underneath him. And then that's where he's, you know, then he has to bounce it higher to try to shoot up here. It's just all about learning, adapting. You're a computer. You know, you're a computer, just like a iPhone 4 went to an iPhone X. There's levels and there's more data.
Same thing here. Keep updating.
You got to keep updating your skill. There's no such thing as a sorry player. That player is good at something. If it's a spin move, if it's a step back, if it's a crossover, he's perfected something. Learn it. Learn how he gets that off. Like, I know Kobe used to practice for people, not so he can teach them to see what they're like. Oh, okay, he can't push off his left foot very well. So when he plays him in the game, he knows you can't push off very well on your left. You know, so it's just like little things like that gets you to that next level. The most important thing is watching, learning, adapting. You know, I can't tell a first-year guy, like, yo, work on this. Because I don't know what your mode is. I don't know what, like, I remember when I talked about Lonzo's shot, and I seen a flaw that, okay, when he goes right, you know, he can never pull up because he has to twist. He's more of a catch and shoot guy, but now if I had to tell him something, I'm telling him this. You're probably the most unselfish guard in the NBA, but your assists only go from 7 to 11. The only reason that is because you're not aggressive. No matter how many times you pass the ball, if you're not passing it to them where they need it, it's meaningless. You're doing them disjustice. I mean, passing the ball up and giving it, but doing this to get it back, to do this to get it back, it's pointless. Like, use your God-given talent, drive, get these people committed, pass that out. But that's the only thing, if I say, if I'm gonna tell him to change something, attack. Because you gotta remember, we as players, the defense has to stop that ball. But if you're never gonna drive and you're never gonna be aggressive, how's he getting open? If you're not gonna drive to this point and this guy comes for you to pass it, how is he gonna get a shot open? So I look at their scoring, and you got seven people in double digits, but he's only averaging seven assists. Oh, he's just not aggressive. Get aggressive. Go, beat your guy off the dribble. Like, speed that game up, get in here. Let this guy come, throw that out, pass it, like, because he's unselfish, so everybody's gonna wanna play with him. But the reason his assists are not jumping up to 17, 20, 15 consistently is because he's not an aggressive person, an aggressive player. Like Rondo, when you see Rondo, most of his passes, Steve Nash, most of their passes is they're coming in here, getting everybody sucked in to pass the ball.
Well, they're moving the defense.
Yeah, they have to move the defense. And that's all, like, if I told him something to change, be aggressive. Be super aggressive. But that's why you look at him who passes the ball every time, and then you say, all right, James Harden and Westbrook are considered selfish, but they're averaging 11. They're averaging 11 assists because they're in attack mode so much that everyone's here all the time.
And they're masters that they know how to manipulate a defense.
No, they're just aggressive.
Well, John Wall. Through aggression, right.
Think about it. Think about everyone who averages 10, 11. They're aggressive. Chris Paul, aggressive. Mm-hmm. He's aggressive scoring type. Where you're so far sticking here, you forgot about that guy. I drove here and pulled this guy from the corner to get you that shot. Instead of me just saying, all right, here. And you're like, shut up.
And I like, not just so ball
look,
movement,
so
right?
So if you look at the top scores, same thing with Rondo. Even though everyone knows Rondo's not going to shoot, he's looking to pass. But he's so far under the rim half the time that you have to do something. You have to stop this ball. And that's all he needs to change. I don't care about the shot. I don't care about just be aggressive, and his sis will jump up in the 12s and the 15s. He's big. He's looking for players. He just, because he's not aggressive, it's just basically hot potato around the end.
And it goes to show you can put all the time in the world in the gym working on your skills, but you still have to study. That's how you're gonna get ahead.
Just like a quarterback. If you're not studying routes, plays, receivers, I don't give a fuck how good your arm is. If you don't know where he's gonna, if you don't know his tendency to cut back, or he hates the middle because he hates getting hit and he loves staying on the sideline, you have to understand that. So in your mind, all right, he has him beat, I'm gonna force a middle. And it gets picked off, and like, why you didn't go middle? One, I don't like going middle because it hurts in the middle.
Laid out there.
Yeah, throw that motherfucker down the sideline, I'm good, but you have to understand what your player's tendencies are. Like even like somebody like Karan, like I knew if I got Karan an open shot, Karan was a rhythm player. So Karan is gonna pump fake, bounce it, shot. So I know if I pass it to him and his man didn't move, now he's forced to try to create his own. You know, so now, okay, when he creates his own, he likes to go baseline and spin back. So when I make this pass, I can't stay right there. I gotta hurry up and
get out of his way.
I gotta hurry up and get out of the way because I know he's coming. You know, but you gotta know your teammate. Easy game if you study.
Study it and put in time. Yeah, good things happen. She a talk to me, and me a talk to she. When the day is coming that we must meet personally. She a talk to me, and me a talk to she. When the day is coming that we must meet personally. She a talk to me, and me a talk to she. When the day is coming that we must meet personally. She a talk to me, and me a talk to she. When the day is coming that we must meet personally.